Welcome, everyone. This is Glenda, and we're having our Christ blessing of November the 7th, 2021. Moving on down through this time zone, through this season, and we're looking forward to every day being even better than the one that we came before. And I look forward to hearing from our community, as we always do. We are on daylight savings. We're off of daylight savings time, I should say. And I see a fairly good crowd here, so I hope that everyone got my message that we do not change our times, even though the clock moves its time to an hour later. No, an hour earlier, I'm sorry. I've got things a little backwards today, but that's what rushing around does. I have been living a very, very busy life lately, and I look forward to this hour of peace with all of you. And I hope that you will feel the same way about it, that it will be a special time, an hour of peace for you. So let's open our lines to our community and just press star 6, then 1, follow the prompts, and I'll open your line. So we're developing a few people online, but so far not a lot. Rick, you were here first, so you're on.
Hi, everybody. I read something, and Tony came to mind, so I thought I would share it with everyone and see if it resonates.
Good.
In the kind of terms he would use, and I'll just be brief. We're going to be hit with new influxes of light for the 40-day process beginning every year on November 11th. 11-11. 11 is the master number that reflects the transfiguration from the physical into the divine. Every man, woman, and child embodied on earth has the sacred geometry of 11 and 11-11 encoded within their divine potential of their RNA and DNA. These codes are activated by our I Am presence when we move through the various phases of our ascension. So it says that November 11th this year, we're going to activate these genetic codes in new and profound ways.
Thank you. I think that's a great contribution and very true. So everybody listen up and think about how that may apply to you. I was just thinking that by numerology interpretation, my whole name adds up to 11. And of course, 11, the two ones of 11 add up to 2, which is me and you. Together, we're going to transform. That kind of describes my life's work, I think. So you brought that up to me, and I pass it on to you to think about ways in which your life reflects or embraces this pathway transformation. So thank you, Rick. That was lovely.
My pleasure.
And very important. Yeah, very important. I think that's something Stormy might have mentioned too, but I was actually really thinking of Tony. Tony would have brought up something like that. And so we're going to have to think about the cosmos and the cosmic programs in our own ways now. And I'm sure that Tony's probably guiding us from the place where he dwells. And we see Jerome has come on board. Hi, Jerome.
Love and life, peace and joy. And your address is Spiritus Poa, Box 1744, Ranzas Pass, Texas 78335. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Good, good. I'm going to send you a note.
Okay. You okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But listen, love and blessings, and for everything you do, and light and love, and thank you for our connection with Yeshua and the ultimate of the spirit of the higher God of the universe. I just thank you and I love you, and please keep up the good work.
Well, I love you too, and all of us do. You are the smiling Buddha of our group, the laughing Buddha.
Well, I learned it from you. I learned it from you. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I know. I learned actually from Yeshua that whenever I got a real boost in consciousness or illumination, I would always laugh. And I think the laughter was the joy of receiving in the process of letting go of what I don't need anymore. It was kind of like all combination. When you get what you need, you let go of what you don't need.
Yes, yes, yes. Let go of what we don't need. But thank you for helping all of us. And please keep up the good work. I thank you. And
I will. Long past when I have breath to breathe, I will still be doing the work.
Oh, sounds great. So, okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay. We'll keep rolling here, Jerome, and thank you for the spark of light. Nancy and Gary, I see you're on. Welcome.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, everyone. Well, we sure need a blessing. Our little Isla was in the hospital the last 3 days. Some weird immune response from her parents that had COVID, and she tested for the antibody. She didn't have it, but all of her organs and everything were inflamed, and so they're working with all of this, and it's kind of scary, and it's like she's crawling out of her skin. It's very hard to watch her. And so anyway, please, everyone, thank you for the love and the prayers and the energy that will surround her.
Oh, well, Nancy, there's something I didn't catch at the beginning. Help me understand a little better.
I love Olivia's little girl who's 18 months old. Yeah, she had a pretty high fever for like 4 days, and she'd been to the doctor twice within that time frame, and it was kind of like ear infection stuff, and then it just wasn't getting better, and so then they took her to Dell.
Is it COVID?
They're thinking that it is. It's called MIS. It's a multi-inflamed syndrome that little ones are experiencing maybe a month after, you know, they may have had it or been exposed to it. And so the heart gets inflamed or the different organs. And it's just so hard with little ones, you know, because they can't express and nurses and doctors are the enemy. And, you know, they feel terrorized.
It
was something
so
to see. So, yeah. And then a blessing also for the new one coming that's due this coming Friday. So. Thank you for the community that will surround
you.
I know. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, we will ask for a very, very special blessing. You know he loves the children.
He does.
That was his favorite love in life was the children. And he said, let them come into me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So of all the people on the earth, may the children not suffer. So my heart goes out to all of the children who may be suffering. And let your little baby be a wishing stone on which we can pass blessings on to all the other children. And in her healing, may they all become better and lifted up.
Yeah, and in addition, just the mom and dad, Olivia and Rashad, just it's so hard for moms and dads when they can't really comfort and you know, it's a straining situation and they try to hold the space for it and sometimes it's easy, sometimes they just feel, you know, really stressed out, I should say.
If you say the least, it must be actually terrifying. It must actually be terrifying, and I feel for them. So,
thank you. Thank you, everybody. Love everybody.
We love you. We love your children, and we're going to be holding them in our hearts. Okay?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Well, Nancy, you are on. Are you still in Hawaii?
No, we came back last Monday. So we're home now, and it's all so good. But Hawaii was just wonderful. But
I know.
Thank you for asking, and I want to say hello and Sabbath blessings for everybody on the call. We can just feel that beautiful energy flowing among us, and it's wonderful. The reason I'm calling specifically is, remember a few weeks ago I called about my friend Anna Jay, who was going to have a heart procedure. It was a catheterization, and we prayed for her, and the procedure was successful, and the result was her arteries are clear. However, and this is a big however, the valve that sends the blood with oxygen from her lungs back into her heart so that it can be distributed throughout her body is failing. It's not doing its job, and it needs to be replaced. And there's a major question about whether or not she would be able to tolerate the surgery. She will be going, she hopes, to go to Cleveland Clinic if they think they can help her. So there's a lot of modern medicine that's involved that are possibilities for her. So it's not like she's out of options. Of course, never are we out of options.
Well, no, so I have experienced
for her.
Good, good. I've experienced a lot of cardiology procedures, either directly or indirectly, and I have to say that probably our most progressed medical science is in the area of cardiology. So I feel confident that there's a person there who, with the direction of God to that person, will be able to help her.
I am praying for that and holding her in the light, and I see it very positively too. But
I do. I feel confident. It's just it's a matter of her relaxing into the will of God and connecting with the right person, because the right person is out there.
Yes, and she has taken steps to do that. And she's actually been going to the Cleveland Clinic since 1982. So the people there have her records. They know her condition, and they have helped her over the years. So I think she will be in good
hands.
That's
quite a record. Yeah.
It is. It is. And she's wonderfully upbeat. She's taking all this. She's doing her part, getting the new information to Cleveland Clinic so they can look at it. And she tries to eat healthily. She exercises to the extent that she can. Now it's diminished, as you can imagine. But I see her whole and well and walking around the neighborhood and enjoying her life. So that's my request for everyone.
Yes.
And I am so grateful for the help for all of these prayer requests. Thank you so much, Glenda. There's so
much love. The thing is, I've got to say this. Everything and anything is possible for God. Whether the connections will be made, that's another story. And we're part responsible for making those connections.
We are. We're the bridge.
There are many ways we can make the connection. One is with prayer. One is with faith. One is with confidence in ourselves to actually be up to receiving. You know, it takes a lot of courage to really believe in yourself and receive, because what if you fail? It takes a lot of courage. I'm telling you, it really does. And there's so many ways we help to facilitate that connection with God. So the connections are optionable. I'm going to say this to everybody. Connections are optionable. The ability of God is absolute. Unquestionable.
Amen. Yes.
And it's always there. Always there. You know, when Yeshua walked on this earth, he did not heal everybody. Not that he couldn't, but he knew that they wouldn't receive. They weren't ready to receive. They weren't open to receive. And he went on to the next person who was ready to receive. So receiving is our part. Now, it sounds like your friend is doing her part. She really is up to receiving. And I have every confidence that she will. I do. I see it.
Yeah.
And we stand with her like a little gang of angels around her. We're going to receive with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Glenda. I so appreciate it. And I will let her know. I told her I would ask for prayer from some of the most wonderful prayers in the whole world. So she knows, and she was very pleased that there would be people helping her through prayer. So please accept her appreciation, everybody on the call, because she was so grateful.
We do. We do. And we love you, too. And thank you for being an emissary that has brought so many lovely people to us.
Oh, thank you. I so appreciate everything you do on behalf of everyone and all of the blessing givers and everyone on the call. It really is an appointment with the divine every Sunday, and it helps us to do our part. So I'm
it
so
does.
Grateful.
It does. You know, all my life, I've just prayed, Father, use me. Let me serve. Let me use me. And I feel like now my prayers are answered because I can't wait to be here every Sunday. No matter what's going on in my life, no matter what's going on in the world, this is my bliss time. This is the time when I sit here and I think, okay, what can we do to help the next person?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And we love you.
I love all of you, and especially you, Glenda, for bringing the message and helping us all not only to hear it, but to use the teachings of Yeshua to help us raise and uplift all of the people around us. So thank you so much.
Well, there you go, Nancy. You know, the thing is, you don't learn something until you use it.
Yeah.
You think you know something, and then you go to use it, and you say, well, what am I supposed to do? We go, what?
The situations keep changing, and we're thinking, okay, how do I apply the teachings of Yeshua here? But it comes to you with prayer, so...
It does. It does. And the more you use it, the more you understand it.
Yes.
That's how you understand it. And even if you don't know how to use it, you don't have a clue. You know, you're just kind of like, okay, all right, well, I'm just going to hold the thought. That's a good start. That's a good start.
It
doesn't matter where you start.
That's right. Just ask a question. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And I'll say goodbye. Okay. I know there are a lot of people waiting, but I so appreciate it.
Okay. Well, yeah, there are. So we need to move on, but we'll hold you in our heart.
Thank you.
Mara, you are on. Hello, dear.
Hello. Are you talking to me, Glenda, Mara?
I sure am. You're the only Mara I know.
Well, I couldn't hear the Mara, so I wasn't sure. But anyway, it's good to be here. Those messages are so beautiful. I thank you so much for them. And Ellie's been reading to me the meditations from Friday that you send every week now, and then we talk about them and how wonderful they are. And so I also want to thank you for that and thank her too, and all the people on the call. And I would ask, I would like to ask for, well, first I would like to give thanks for a successful surgery for one of my nephews who had a very serious eye injury, and they thought he might lose the eye. He did not, and he came through the surgery very well. And so I give thanks for that. But now my sister, his mother, this last week had a rather serious stroke, and she's coming along pretty well. She can't talk very well yet, but she's in. It was just remarkable to me. You speak of miracles, and I think of this one as a miracle. There's a new rehab place that has recently opened up in Fargo, North Dakota, and that is where they sent her for rehab, and they're supposed to be top of the line, which is something that they've wanted around here for a number of years. So we're very fortunate there that she's in a good place. So I'd like to include her in the prayers today.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's wonderful that she's going to get such good help.
Yes,
and,
it is.
I mean, that's the beginning of other very, very rich blessings.
So, yes,
you know,
it is.
I think sometimes we overlook the importance of a good beginning.
Uh-huh.
We don't always get the ultimate blessing we're looking for. But if we get on the pathway, and it's a
right.
good pathway, we're making forward progress. That in
yes.
itself is a blessing. Because all of life is a process. It always is. Education's a process. Learning how to love and serve in the world is a process. We don't know how. Oh, let me tell you how scared I was the first time I stepped in front of a classroom. I was in graduate school, and as part of my duties, receiving a scholarship was to be a teacher's assistant, but I wasn't a teacher's assistant. I had a class, and I stepped in. I was so scared. I didn't know how to speak. Can you imagine? Because you know I can talk about anything today. I'm a blabbermouth today. I'm confident. I'm Calamity Jane in front of a room. But can you imagine? I was so shy. I just went to the blackboard and wrote my name. And I said, I'm Glenda Green. And then I wrote the name of the class. I couldn't think of anything else to do. But it was the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we overlook the importance. Like Lao Tzu said, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step.
Yes.
And we forget to give thanks for the first step. And
yes.
So,
and her name is Monica. My sister's name, and she prays every morning for about an hour, and and she's very, very strong. She's been very strong all her life, so this is quite difficult, and she didn't want to go to rehab at first, but they talked her into it, and she is fully cooperating with them, and so I expect good results. But again, Glenda, what I was thinking of too is we ask for things and we want things in our community, and they don't happen for a while, but always I thought, there he is again. He's answered a question that was asked long ago. And now here it is, just in time for her to get that service. It's just absolutely wonderful.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And that goes back to what I've mentioned many, many times. One of the most repeated phrases in the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is waiting on the Lord.
Right, right.
God's still intertwined.
And he's there.
with the cosmic design and the whole planetary design, the solar system design, the entire evolutionary package of humanity and that design. One of the great things I love that Tony always contributed to this call was the cosmic picture. It gave us the big picture that then we enfolded into the human picture, which then we enfolded into our community and our particular request. And it led in such a lovely way from the great to the singular, knowing that even a sparrow that falls is noticed. But it's all part of the plan.
Yes, it is. So, and I'm so glad that you've been such a major part of the plan for me. I truly appreciate it. I just don't know how to be grateful enough, so I just give it to God.
Well,
and ask
I appreciate
him to show you that gratitude. Yeah.
Well,
so,
thank you so much. Thank you so much, Maura.
Thank
I love you.
You
personally, and your place in our community.
Thank you.
You held a very important place. You have.
Thank you.
But we do have several other people on the call.
Yes, I understand. Okay, bye now.
So we're gonna move along. Christopher, you've been waiting. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Glenda. So, first of all, just wow. I mean, the amount of energy, positive energy that I feel just the first few moments of the call is kind of overwhelming with joy. I can't believe that it's only been a week since I was here. That's the kind of week that I had.
Wow.
So what a relief. Thank you to everybody's joy and kindness and blessings to everybody for the pain that people have been going through, children and friends and everybody. There's a prayer, special prayer that I want to ask that comes kind of in the wake of what you were sharing, Glenda. And then I also have a specific question that I wanted to ask. So the prayer is, you know, you mentioned people we need to be open in order to receive the all-pervading, all-accomplishing power of God. And so I just pray for all of us in our community and all of us around the world to have more faith. And I pray especially for people who've been traumatized in different ways, which actually narrows the window of tolerance and in some ways puts people in survival space, makes them maybe more difficult sometimes to open to those blessings. So I just want to pray for people who've been traumatized or marginalized, who might have felt bitter, or who might have been closed down in some ways to receiving. So we can all have more and more of that faith and trust and be more receptive to the blessings. And I have a question for you, Glenda, I think it's amazing that you brought up graduate school, because I wanted to ask you about it. Very specifically, you mentioned before that, you know, you've told this story many times that you wanted to be an artist and you knew it and you wanted to get your MFA, but your professors wouldn't give you a recommendation for that. And yet they referred you to a scholarship or a fellowship for a Master of Arts in the history of art, I think. And so my curiosity from you is, why was that important in your development? Now, looking back, why was that important in your development? And also for my sake, because I'm struggling through graduate school a little bit, what was that like for you and how did you cope with it?
Well, I'll have to, the only way I can explain that is to give you the reason why they declined reference for me to go on into graduate school of painting. That was in the '60s, the late '60s, when art was in the abstract expressionist era and the pop art era and the New York School era of modern art. And I wasn't really tuned to that, but I was doing everything in my power to become attuned to it. I was trying. I actually did some pretty fine abstract paintings but it wasn't my soul principle. I wasn't born to be one of the rebels, shall we say. That kind of left bank rebellious spirit is not what I am. In my own way, I guess I am a rebel, but I'm a peaceful rebel, working on the pathways to God. I'm not that kind of Andy Warhol type iconoclast who's, you know, making art out of a Campbell soup can. I was trying to understand it. If I had gone in that direction, it would have been a wrong direction for my life. And they knew it. They knew it. Because there's no way I could have been successful in the artistic field at that point in my life if I had not taken that fork in the road. Now, later on, by the 70s, after I'd gone through graduate school, after I'd gone through a phase of teaching, art was beginning to change, and it moved into a kind of neo-realist phase that I was able to work in, and my husband at that time was a very, very accomplished man in, well, he had been a curator of the Metropolitan Museum in New York City. So when I say accomplished, I mean accomplished. And so he gave me a lot of footing in the art world to get that place I needed as a portraitist. And then I developed my portrait skills. I wasn't really in love with that as a direction either, but I developed the skill that I would need to do later on the greatest work of my life. So it's kind of like the bends in the road will take us to different places. And sometimes we have to trust others to look at those bends in the road for us and help us make a decision. I disagreed with everything along the way. I really did. And thank God people loved me enough to tolerate my disagreement, but stick to their ground. And they said, no, you are not going on in fine arts because you'll never make it. We had a group meeting, and my professor sat in front of me to explain it. And one of them said, Glenda, you are brilliant, and we're not going to let you waste that mind you have. We don't know how you'll wind up getting back into the arts, but we trust you'll eventually get back and do what you want to do after you've fully developed that brilliant mind you have. And you're not going in the direction of modern art because that's not right for you. I mean, they were adamant.
Wow.
I mean, they were like grandpa and grandma sitting down with the grandchild and say, absolutely, you're not getting this money if that's what you're going to do with it. So I said, okay, all right, I trust that if you're that firm about it, I'll take you up on it. I'll follow your direction. And sometimes, guys, that's what we have to trust other people. And that's what I was getting across to Nancy when I was talking about making the connection. Sometimes we don't know how to make the connection, even with our own best option. We don't know because our own best option may lie beneath a glacier that's moving one inch a century. We can't see it. We can't see where it's going. But there's somebody on a mountaintop that can look down and they see where we're headed and they see where that glacier's headed. And I say, nope, you're not going to find it that way. You're going to go this way. You go around the glacier, buddy. Well, and Christopher, I don't know what to say, but we got to trust other people. And that's one of the big things in this world today is people have lost their trust for one another. And this has been cultivated. There's not very many things I ever get angry about, but I am angry that forces in the world have cultivated distrust. Distrust for one another so that we are not listening to one another. And we've stopped hearing in other people, advice and information because we think it's biased or tilted or it's got an agenda. And it may have an agenda. It may be biased. It may be tilted. But underneath all of that stuff on top, if somebody bothers to pour their heart out to you, they're giving you some love and some benefit somewhere. You just have to look deep enough to find it. That's what I had to do with my confessors. I knew they had a lot of attitudes about me because I was a confirmed realist, and they hated that. I mean, they really did. So I knew they had biases. I knew they had agendas. I knew they were trying to protect their sacred cow of abstract art from some stubborn, determined realist that might corrupt their agenda. But I stayed with it, you know, because ultimately, at the heart of our being, everybody, at the heart of our being, there's God. And all the stuff on top is just leaves that need to be raked off. Really. You know. What else can I say? That's just I've learned from my experience. You got to rake a lot of leaves off the ground to get to the good, healthy earth. But you can do it. You can do it. Sometimes it requires asking questions. Sometimes it requires patience. Sometimes, you know what? It requires letting people know that you respect them. And when they know that you respect them, they'll stop harping at you. They'll stop shouting at you. A lot of people are just trying to get respect. And when they see, you know, that's what happened with my professors. I just said, okay. And I showed them that I respected them. And they got, you know what? They got me the best art history fellowship in the United States. And I only had 2 undergraduate semesters in art history. Now you tell me how that happened. Well, I'm sure God had something to do with that. But still.
I bet.
Still, they had to have really, really done some good referrals. Because there were people who had undergraduate degrees from Harvard and Yale competing for that fellowship. And I won it with 2 semesters of art history from Texas Christian University. You tell me how that happened. And that was a fellowship to Tulane University that was almost as expensive as going to Harvard. All expenses paid. All books paid. All living expenses paid. We're talking about a serious fellowship. Of course, I was expected to teach. I was expected to work for it. But still, to qualify for that, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. And it all started with their obstinate, persistent love for me, for what they showed me, what they respected in me, which wasn't my art ability at that point in time. I gained respect for my art ability later on. But at that point in time, they didn't respect it. Really. It wasn't in tune with the trend. And I wasn't very good with the trend. Okay? I can admit that. I wasn't. And they didn't respect it. But they respected my mind. And they said, we're not going to let you waste that.
Wow.
And then I respected them. And out of it came the miracle. So, you know, I have, in a way, I have worked on that, sort of that paradigm all my life. I go to see a doctor. I don't, and it might be my first visit, but more than anything else, I show him or her that I respect him. I'm here to see you because I really respect your opinion, and I listen. And I trust them with my vulnerability. And I don't go in teaching them how I should be treated. And I can give you a comparison with my husband, Larry. Larry did not trust any doctor. Really, he didn't. He thought he knew what was best for his body. And he researched a lot of medicine. And he got to the point where he converted, in his own mind, his PhD in psychology into an MD in medicine and introduced himself as an MD. He was going to tell every doctor how he should be treated. Well, I've never known another person who got fired by five doctors. I mean, he got dismissed by five doctors over a period of time. They couldn't deal with him because he wanted to write his own prescription. He wanted to say how he was treated. He showed them no respect at all. So consequently, they couldn't treat him. And they said, look, you got to go see somebody else. And his reputation got out to be so bad where he couldn't find a doctor that would accept him. It's really true. And that's sad because Larry was a brilliant man, and he was a good man that really deserved to have good health, but he didn't know how to get it. He really didn't. And he suffered really badly in the last year of his life for that very reason. He suffered so much worse than he needed to or could have. And I couldn't do everything for him, and I tried so hard. But it shows that even the best of people, if you don't learn how to respect your fellow man, if you don't learn how to trust your fellow man, and if you think you can do it all yourself, you're not going to get very far. And those are big words of wisdom I'm giving you.
I hear you. I hear it. I think it's so important right now, you know, the field that I'm in around social change. You know, one of the things I see that is the most important is what you're saying, that we often start from this is how it should be and lack the ability to listen, even if another person has a bias, even if they're prejudiced or even if they are privileged in some way and unwilling to face it. Still, there's wisdom there in their perspective. And the ability to approach with a welcome and a respect, it feels like that would be the crucial ingredient for our healing.
It's very crucial. Well, I went on longer, way longer than I should.
Thank
have,
you.
Chris. I tend to do that with you. We get into these deep conversations, but I am going to have to move on, Christopher. Love talking with you, and we'll do it again next week. All right. Bye-bye.
Blessings, Linda.
Okay. June, you're on. And I hope you're doing better, dear.
Hello.
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 Hi, June.
Hi. Hi. I just was seeing if you could hear me. I was calling for a blessing for George, Odette, and Arlene, who all have some form of cancer and are dealing with serious health conditions right now that are very dear to me. And I wanted to ask you, it sounds like, is Tony all right or has something happened?
Tony passed away.
Okay, that's what I thought. You know, I'm sorry to hear that.
That was last summer in July.
Okay. I mean, this past July or?
This past July, yes.
Yeah. And he was ill, and at one point I did remember hearing that. And
yes, it went very quickly. And
okay.
We were all just extremely surprised. So I won't take time to go into that, Jim.
Oh, no, I'm not wanting you to do that. I just wanted to verify that that was what had happened.
Yeah.
That's all. And I'm just sorry for your loss and for everyone, you know, involved, you know.
We really, truly miss him.
Yes, I can truly imagine that because he was there every
single time without fail.
Oh, yeah, he was my sidekick.
Yeah.
So, anyway, just thinking of Tony and, you know, George, Arlene, and Odette today. Thank you, Glenda.
Okay. Great. We got him. We got him in our hearts. And
yeah.
Tara Kim, you're on. Tara Kim, you're on.
Hello. Oh, hi.
Hello.
Glenda. Hello, everybody. Hi. I just wanted to say thank you so much for the blessings last week. My dad had a beautiful, beautiful memorial on Friday, and that was just really wonderful. A lot of people came that we didn't even know would come, which was really, really special, and we the perfect person came to speak about it, too. So thank you so much for those blessings. And if I could ask for continued blessings for Carl and Barbara, my dad who passed on, and then my mom, who's here with me. And also, if I could request a blessing for my husband, Bert, who has been struggling for the last couple months with some pain in his left shoulder, and that doctors just don't seem to be really identifying with, and that he's really starting to get very worried about. So a blessing for him. And then our sweet dog, Takoda, T-A-K-O-D-A, who just really had a difficult week with us gone, and just is, became very sick and stuff. So we're hoping he can turn things around as well. So both of our dogs as well.
Oh, yes. Well, my heart goes out to her especially. Is she an elder dog? Is she an elderly dog?
Yeah, they're both 10. Our boys that are 10. We have the one who's sick, and then of course the other one who went through a spell back in September. So they've both had a really rough time of it these last couple of months now. So,
well, God loves every dog.
He sure does.
Does show us a great deal about faith and love and devotion.
Yeah,
they have much to teach. They really do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Tara Kim, your loved ones are in our heart, and so are you.
Right. Thank you
You're
so
blessed.
Much.
Be blessed. Okay. And Susan, you are on.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, everybody. I have a friend, Judy, who recently had a stroke. It was like a big surprise. She's in a group. We have a spiritual group, and she's in it, and Maura's sister, when she was talking about, strokes. So I wish everybody well, and this gal's name is Judy. She can be in the prayer list. And for Gary and Nancy, blessings to their baby Isla and Isla's parents, and Nancy, whose friend has a heart issue, wishing well for that, and everybody else that also spoke. But I want to say something you said. You said that you can't learn something until you apply it, basically, and that I really believe is true. And sometimes it takes me a while to do that. Most recently, last week especially, people were talking about energy and connections on the non-physical side. And God knows I've had my share of difficult relationships of and using, the whole wolf thing, don't feed, all kinds of things I was trying to apply that I wasn't all that successful. But I want to say I had a eureka moment when I thought about one thing. I said, this is one person I have a lot of difficulty with. And I said, this person, remember one thing. There is no way he ever set out to harm you, to hurt you in any way. And I want you to think about that over and over. Instead of getting distracted and sidetracked with the entanglements you have, you just have to remember that there was never an iota of intention to hurt you or to harm you in any way. And you know, of all the things you know this to be true. And then God said, and in knowing that, you know who he really is. I said, this is the only way out is up for me. And all the other things that wasn't bringing me. But doing this is crucial and helps me really learn that course in a better way. So I thought I'd share that and based on what you said
That's
about
great.
Learning. And the other thing is I have a middle son who's very, very connected to a lot of people and has done a lot of good things. He did a stupid thing. He was driving through a a school zone. He didn't realize it. He didn't see it, and maybe he was distracted. So he was going over the speed limit. He was going 47, and it was 30 miles or 31, and if it's over 30, it's a problem. And it turns out, you know, he got himself a lawyer, and I didn't feel good about it. He didn't know the guy. It was a recommend from a recommend, and I said, don't sign anything. I don't think you should go with that guy. And I just had a strong feeling. I said, no. Then my other son told him, look online for somebody in that town, a lawyer in that town, because those are the, you know, people that know what's going on in those courts and so forth. Because it turns out to be a very serious ticket. I mean, according, you can go to jail for this. I mean, I mean, it's a real serious ticket, and it was an interstate thing. So lo and behold, he does, and he sees somebody online, and he felt very strong that this person was right. And turns out that person is. And the person said to him, after speaking to him a while, he says, I know you're a good guy. You don't even have to tell me. I know this is an unfortunate. I know the policeman who did it. I know what his agenda is. They need money. There's a lot of things going on. I also know the judge that's going to go before this. I will take care of you. I'm not going to tell you you won't get points, but I'll do everything in my power, because one thing I know is you are a decent guy. You don't have to tell me that. I know it. And when he told me this, I went, this kid is so connected, you know, in so many ways. I knew it's you know, it'll come out. Okay. And it started by me saying, I don't like this other one. My other son saying, look online, look for somebody in the town. When you see the way it all connects, and then he connects with this really good guy, it's amazing to me. You know, it's so wonderful when I see the bigger picture. I don't always with a lot of things, but sometimes I'm graced, you know. And,
true. And we have to use our connections and allow them to be fluid. Because one thing may lead to another,
Without a doubt. So, you know, bless the community and everybody who speaks. And it's just wonderful to do this work. I know my life's work, and, you know, I'm grateful for it. So, and everybody that I can share it with that lifts me up, and this is major.
Well, we always love hearing from you, Susan, and so happy to hear about your son's success in following his intuition and making the right decision.
Totally. Got a question unrelated. I take vitamin D. I think I should take more than 2,000. If I take 10,000, is that too much daily?
Well, there are blood tests that can tell you if you have overconsumed in vitamin D, but up to I don't think 10,000 is too much. That's just my personal opinion, but I'm not a doctor and I'm not trained in that. I take a lot, and the reason I take a lot is because
if you don't mind my ask.
It varies. Most days I take 6,000 milligrams.
Okay.
And, vitamin D is very, very important for women to protect themselves against osteoporosis. It's far more important than calcium. If you take a lot of calcium, you don't know where it's going to go. It could go to your artery. It could contribute to plaque in your brain. Artery doesn't have a target on it that says go to the bone. We think because bones are mostly calcium, that's where calcium will go, but it's not true. Boron and vitamin D, especially make it vitamin D3, okay? Not vitamin D, but vitamin D3. And preferably with tocotrienol. That's the ultra refined.
Do you need to take
vitamin
food?
D that is, I don't take mine with food. I don't think so. But look it up, you know, I can't say I do everything perfectly. That's just
the way I do it, and it feels right to me. But you should look it up, because, you know, everybody's got a different sensitivity. Everybody's got a different level of tolerance. And run it by your doctor. Run it by the people you are you counsel with, or just read about it and feel your way through it. Okay, but I think you probably do need more than 1,000 milligrams.
Yeah, I would more than the regular standard too. I know I do. I know. And when I douse using the pendulum, basically I got a yes for the 10,000.
Yeah.
So,
well, to give you a comparison, if you spend 1 hour in the sun in summer, like you might do if you were swimming or on a boating trip, whatever, you're out in the sun for 1 hour, you're going to absorb 30,000 milligrams of vitamin D.
Oh, wow. And you can tolerate that? Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
But the thing is, if you get it from the sunlight, you're not taking in any other extras that your body might not tolerate or assimilate well. That's why it pays to look into the whole subject of vitamin D. Make sure you're taking a form that your body's going to assimilate very well. And it's the extras that cause the problem. if you work outside, you're a gardener, let's say, professional landscape artist, and you're outside most of the summer, you're going to be getting 30,000 milligrams a day.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's not that the body has a limitation on vitamin D. It's that it has a limitation on the carrier in which vitamin D is brought into the body.
Okay.
There's the issue.
Okay.
And I don't see, I don't know what you're taking, and I don't, but read about it. Get informed. Take it from there.
Okay.
Okay. I got to text somebody else.
Go ahead.
We'll talk later, Susan.
Yep.
All right. If you want to ask more. All right. Bye bye. Okay. And we've got a U.S. cellular customer, and I don't know who you are, but you know. Okay. You're on.
Hey, Glenda. It's Adami here in Mount Shasta.
Oh, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, I think I'm fine. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just calling in for a prayer request for myself.
Okay.
I got out of the hospital a week ago today. I had some emergency surgery, abdominal surgery, and I'm in the recovery mode, and I'm recovering pretty good, but I thought I'd just call and ask for a special blessing to heal it along.
Oh, I'm glad you did. I'm so glad you did. Are you at home now?
I am. I've been home for a week.
Okay.
But it's been a slow process, you know. It's been a pretty slow process.
Well, slow is not always bad. Sometimes it means it's being thorough.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I said slow is not always bad. Sometimes it means
well,
the process is very deep and thorough.
Yeah, it's actually, that's really not accurate wording. I should have said it's coming along. I did initially say it's coming along pretty good, and I'd have to say it seemed real slow at first, but now I'm able to walk, and I've been able to walk about a half a mile yesterday, so that's really good. I couldn't walk.
Oh, that's great. You're doing very well.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, but I just thought I'd call and ask for a little special special charge.
It's good to hear from you.
Well, it's good.
And you keep the vibes flowing in a positive way, okay?
I'm sorry, say again, please.
I say keep the vibes flowing in a positive way.
Yes, I work on that. I, you know, meditate a lot, pray, and
good.
So forth. Yeah, that is my focus.
All right. Well, it's good to hear from you, and we are going to close. We're going to close our session with Stormy, and move on into our blessing. Stormy, you're on.
Yes, Glenda. my prayers are always answered so quickly because God is waiting upon me for my next prayer and my next prayer and my next prayer. And even before I make those prayers, I have seen them answered in the same day before I even made the prayer.
That's great. It's great. Well, you know, the thing is, Stormy, with God, there is no time. There's no time and there's no space. And so we are the ones that create space and time. So for you to just get on with it is a great indication of how close you are to God.
Thank you, Glenda.
Yeah. And blessings to you, Stormy. I know that you're always... I know that you're always living in faith, living in joy, and the most positive expectations. And I hold you in our blessing to receive all that you expect.
Yes, of course.
Everybody, let's get ready for our blessing. Okay? Just relax wherever you are. In your chair, your bed, the lounge chair, the hammock, the front yard, wherever you are, on the beach, and that some people are. I hear from people who've been on a mountaintop, and I can only imagine how we are encompassing our beautiful planet, and as we receive blessings, we pass them on. We receive blessings, assimilate some of them, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to open ourselves and assimilate that which is being given to us. And in the process, just like a satellite on the dish, we pass them on, receive, filter, accept, pass on. And as we receive blessings here, we can hold them for a while for our own benefit and then pass them on to others to receive. And build their blessings around. So let's take a deep breath, everybody. So shake out your legs and your arms. Really get your body loose. The more relaxed you are, the looser you are, the more you will be open to every frequency of energy coming in. And then you take a very deep breath, expand your diaphragm. And release it slowly. And another. Expand your diaphragm. Expand, expand. And again. Continue your relaxing, your breathing, your releasing, and your opening as I welcome the presence of Yeshua. Beloved Yeshua, we know that you're already here, but we welcome you by name, because in your name is so much grace, so much love, so much affirmation of our faith, and your promise to always be with us. We ask that you wake us up, that we may see you, that we may hear you, that we may feel your presence and not just lie asleep and unconscious within it, but we see the conversation between you and us so that we are open to ask and you can say, I hear you, beloved. I'm here for you. Tell me more. Show me the contents of your heart.
I feel your joy. I feel your grief. I feel your hurt. I feel your aloneness. I feel your sadness and your fear. Come to me. I'm here for you. I'm here to hold you, to sit beside you. And together, we make life better. And I say these words for you because I know you're saying them to me. We thank you for all you do for us all the time. We thank you for being here in our world, moving us toward our greater state of evolution, toward our greater state of understanding, toward our greater state of accomplishment and realization about our own potential, that we may be all that we are and discover all that we can be. We ask on behalf of those who are not present in this prayer that you bless them also, that you feel their desire and their hunger for you, and you give them a tap on the shoulder so that they may know there are blessings to be received. I thank you for guiding me in my work. I thank you for our community that comes together in its love, that we may grow in our love and our service of you and our Heavenly Father. We surrender now to receive all of these things in your blessed name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me? Let us begin the blessing.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's time for you to go and rest and receive as much as you can. Just be a sponge or a blank slate on which the will of God will be written. The blessings and the love of God will be inscribed for the betterment of your life. Bye-bye for now, and I look forward to being with you next week.